All right, that Knicks game sucked. But Kemba Walker came back, and he's pain-free, so that's good. And I'm going to talk about it on this Monday Locked On Celtics Millets. Let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back. Thank you for making this show, the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing, wherever it is that you're going. I want to thank you for making this a little part of your day, and I hope it makes your day just a tiny bit brighter. And you kind of need that after this horrific loss to the New York Knicks. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics. I host this podcast, and I'm the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is now available at online booksellers everywhere. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% off your next order. In segment two, I'm going to talk about Kemba Walker, who made his return. Didn't play well. Nobody played well against New York, but came out of it pain-free, so I'm going to talk about that in the second segment. We're going to have a palate cleanser at the end of the podcast, segment three, the Orlando game from Friday, which was just a beautiful piece of work by the Boston Celtics. But let's start here with an awful piece of work by the Boston Celtics. The game played on Sunday afternoon, in which the Celtics never led. New York was up by as much as 37, and they won 105-75, and it is a miracle that the Boston Celtics got to 75 points. I have no idea how they did that. I also have no idea how Jaylen Brown got up to 25 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. It looks like Jaylen had a good offensive game. He did not. No one did. I refuse to believe these numbers, and I think most of that damage was done early on, but the Celtics were just bad. The only other Celtic in double figures, Marcus Smart, 10 points, and he was 0 of 7 from 3. That's it. The Celtics shooting 29.8% from the field overall. 29.8%. They were 15.2% from 3 and 62.1% from the free throw line. Those are god-awful numbers, disgusting in every possible way. It was really, really bad. They could not shoot. They could not shoot. They also could not defend. The Knicks, 48 of their points came in the paint. 22 of their points came off of turnovers. The Celtics could not defend at all. The Celtics shot 46 three-pointers, the most this season. 13 more than their average. For the year, they averaged 33 per game. All of a sudden, they jacked up 46 against the Knicks. Why? Part of it might have been that the Knicks are a big team, a lot of length. Mitchell Robinson in the middle of the lane does not make it easy for you to get to the rim. The big, like, beefy front line, they bullied the Celtics. And I think the Celtics just were like, all right, we hit a bunch of threes the other day. We're just going to keep taking these threes. And, you know, earlier in the season when Brad Stevens was talking about inside out, we want those inside out threes. These were not really inside out threes. These were a bunch of pull-up three-point attempts. They worked the ball around the sides, you know, side to side a little bit. But that was about it. The Celtics just were never aggressive. They got bullied early, and then they just kind of were going to try to shoot their way through this, and they could never get the shots to fall. They had a couple of little spurts, but they were just not getting anything. I mean, and it's funny. Someone tweeted at me, is like, are you going to be yelling at me the whole time? You're going to be yelling during this entire podcast during my morning run? Like, no, this is, as Brad Stevens called it after the game, a clunker. This is one of those games where it just kind of happens that every once in a while, you're going to have a game where everybody sucks and the shots aren't going to fall and they just don't play well. And nobody played well. You can't look at a single guy on this team and say he played well. He did well in this game. Nobody did. Jaylen Brown did not play well in this game, which is also amazing because he didn't play well and he still managed 25-6-3. He had a good stretch early on. There was a point in the first quarter where I tweeted out, Jaylen Brown woke up and he was starting to carry things. And it was after Kemba Walker came off the floor. And I'm going to talk about this in the next segment a little bit. But Jaylen, I think, was part of the, hey, let's get Kemba going. I'm going to stand aside a little bit. And Kemba did say, he's like, I think the guys just kind of wanted me to, you know, come out and do my thing. And they were all just standing and watching. And that might have been part of the initial problem that the Celtics had is just, hey, Kemba's back. Yeah, we're excited. Go ahead, Kemba. Go be Kemba. And instead of just playing the type of basketball that they were playing up until this game. And that's something that, you know, they'll go back and you'll look at the film and you say, all right, we gotta make sure Kemba coming back is supposed to be, hey, we're getting a great player back, a guy who was an all-star last year and one of your best players, one of your max contract guys. Adding him to this mix is supposed to make things a little easier, and we can't have it make it worse. So a little something to figure out there. But Jaylen did have that little burst, but then it just kind of went away. He did not defend well. The Celtics did not defend well at all. They let the Knicks get kind of anywhere that they wanted to in this game. Elfrid Payton was getting through the lane with ease. Emmanuel Quickley was huge off the bench. He ended up with 17 points on 7 of 12 shooting. He had 8 assists. I mean, he destroyed the Celtics. Julius Randle destroyed the Celtics. 7 of 14, 12 rebounds. He had 4 assists, 3 steals. So, I mean, I can keep running it down. The Knicks put in their bench, and their bench did work. And the Celtics bench did nothing. Reliable guys this season, like Peyton Pritchard, Semi Ojeleye has been reliable. And they were both offers from three. Neither of them. Pritchard, let's see. Semi Ojeleye was 0 for 6. Oh, I'm sorry. Peyton Pritchard did hit one. Sorry. So, but Semi Ojeleye, 0 for 6 from three. And it's not like he had bad looks. I think one of them might have been a little forced, but those were the shots that you want Semi Ojeleye taking, generally. Pritchard hit that one shot. That's it. No one on the bench did anything of real note. Javonte Green picked up some numbers at the end in garbage time. But, you know, you just chalk it up. You just chalk it up. And you really do. You look at some of the stuff that was that went wrong at the beginning that Kemba was saying, you try to get these guys back on the, you know, say, all right, we throw this out, but you learn your lesson from standing around and watching Kemba. Like, we can't have the Celtics devolve into a watch Kemba team. Kemba now is going to come back and be the third option behind Tatum and Brown. That's how it's got to be. And just because he's got the ball in his hands, and yeah, he's going to be taking pull-up jumpers, but that's fine. Like, he should be taking the pull-up jumpers that Marcus Smart's been taking. Marcus Smart took 15 shots in this game, 0 for 7 from 3. Marcus Smart shouldn't be taking 15 shots in a game, although without Tatum, that's how it's going to go. So, throw it out, whatever you want to do. This was a gross game. Nothing left to take out of it And that's the only... Normally, I do the good, the bad, and then the other storyline. This is it. One segment dedicated to this game, only because it was the most recent game. That's it. Done with it. There was a silver lining, and it's Kemba Walker. You are going to hear what Kemba Walker had to say about his return after the break. So get yourself a Built Bar, peel back that wrapper, and enjoy it during this break, because it's a delicious snack. It's a delicious meal replacement. If you're exercising right now listening to the podcast, you should have one in your gym bag. It's great after a workout because of the nutrients in there, the protein, and it's low calorie, it's low sugar. It's going to be great for you. There are a ton of delicious flavors, 18 different flavors. They actually sent me a mixed box with some of these flavors, and I stick to what I like. Normally, I like the peanut butter, but there is a milk brownie, a mint brownie, if you're into coconut, the coconut almond tastes like an Almond Joy. If you like that, then that's your flavor right there. There are a bunch of different flavors there that really makes it hard for me to pick. I think I might just stick with my peanut butter, because I know that that's a good one. And like the peanut butter one, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. There are non-nut flavors if you have an allergy, but it's going to be great for you. If you're health conscious, looking to lose weight, maintain weight, it's great for you. If you don't believe me, that's fine. You curious? Try one box. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you get 20% off that one box. Then, when you say, oh, John's right, go back, use the promo code again, you're still going to get that 20% off. So it's locked on for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
It felt really good, man, to be out there. Like, really good. I just, I kind of almost forgot, how it felt to be out there, man. But I had fun, being out there with my teammates, just, getting up and down.
That is Kemba Walker after the game. He felt good. He looked good. Moved well. He didn't shoot well, but he was moving well. I thought he looked kind of mostly like I expect Kemba to look. There was nothing in his game that made me think, oh, geez, he's not the same guy. Like, I remember vividly last year in Indiana, the last game before COVID shut down the league, watching Kemba. I was like, man, he cannot turn the corner. He does not look good. He looks frustrated. This Kemba was moving very well. He was rusty, and Brad Stevens said after the game, look, guys got no practice time. They were not able because they shut down the facility. They were not able to get up and down, but he's ready. He's back. So put him in there. Play him 20 minutes or so. And so, yeah, he's going to be rusty. There's going to be chemistry issues. But he says pain-free. Here is Kemba Walker after the game talking about the pain that used to be in his knee and the difference of today.
Just like as the days go by, like mentally, I'm just like every day, I'm just not thinking about it, which at one point it's like mentally, that's all I could think about, like on the court, like in the bubble, that's all I could think about was my knee, every step I took, every move I made, it was something, even when I wasn't playing. So, now, I'm out there and I'm trying to do a step back, and the first thing in my mind is like, damn, this is probably going to hurt, Not even worried about making or missing the shots, about the pain. So today, when I'm out there, I'm making my moves that I normally make, and I don't feel anything. It's joy. I'm excited. I put in a lot of work. I really attack my rehab and, to get where I'm at. And I want to continue to build off this, just try to stay healthy. That's the most important thing.
So that is very exciting. For Kemba, I mean, you get the actual answers from these guys a year afterwards. Last year, Kemba would say, I'm not making the excuse. My knee's not an excuse. And that's fine. It's, hard to blame him for not telling us, yeah, my knee hurts, because a lot of people, whenever a player says something like that, they say, oh, then don't make excuses. Like, you just say, if he's saying his knee hurts, then his knee hurts. And he's trying to battle through it. But he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to say it. Didn't want to make the excuse. But you hear him say, in the bubble, all he could think about was his knee. Even when he wasn't playing, that it hurt. And now for it to not hurt, that's very important. It's just very important for Kemba. And it gives you a good feeling that maybe this is going to be something that lasts, we hope. Now, we're going to see how the knee responds. Monday, and the Celtics are off. I'm sure they're in there watching film and whatever, but they're off on Monday. I'm sure there's going to be some, maybe there's going to be a practice on Tuesday or something before they fly to Philly. Maybe. I don't know. But they're doing the Wednesday-Friday miniseries with Philly this week. If it happens, by the way, if it happens, because the Philly OKC game on Sunday night was postponed because of contact tracing in the Sixers. And if that's going to be a problem now, like their games haven't been postponed. This is the first one. And so I think it's the first one. Regardless, they had been playing. And so if they are starting their contact tracing like too many guys, then I wonder if Wednesday is in jeopardy. Just wondering if Wednesday's in jeopardy. Just watch for that. But anyway, the point is the Celtics are going to be in there. Kemba's going to be getting his treatment. If his knee responds well after playing the 20 minutes, then you go through and whatever the next step is in his rehab, I guess it's just going to be a constant thing. Now, I mentioned earlier the Jaylen Brown stuff where Jaylen was on the floor and everybody's looking at Kemba and, you know, there's a chemistry thing that needs to kind of be rekindled, for lack of a better term. That Jaylen Brown has really expanded his game and is playing extraordinarily well, and he's no longer just the catch and shoot, spot up in the corner guy. Attack a closeout off of that and get your points off of that. He's grown as a player. And so I asked Kemba about that chemistry and what adjustments Kemba might have to make if there were any. So I'm going to play you the question and his response so you can get the whole context out of everything.
Kemba, you talked about that chemistry just a second ago. What's your first impression playing, you know, getting back in there, playing with Jaylen, especially after Jaylen has grown his game to, you know, this season? What are you seeing? What adjustments do you think you might have to make after being out there for this first time?
That I might have to make?
Yeah, just because, you know, or are there any adjustments that you have to make?
No, none. None. Not at all. He just has to keep on being super aggressive. And that's it. You know, with me, you know, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to do my part. You know, I'm going to play hard. I'm going to shoot my open shots. And, you know, he's killing it. I don't want him to think that just because I'm back, he can't keep killing it, because he can. You know, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to continue to encourage him, you know, just to be great, you know, which he's been all year, you know. I just want to try to add on to it. You know, that's it.
Kemba did come around to an answer that I wanted to hear. Like, he actually ended up giving a good answer to the question where he said he's killing it. And I don't want him to think because I'm back that he can't keep killing it. So that's what I'm talking about. Now, maybe Kemba doesn't have to make any adjustments to his game. I don't know. I don't know if that's exactly true or not. But, you know, maybe what I was thinking he might say was, you know, I've got to, you know, watch for him. You know, we've got to, you know, or something like, you know, we can figure out, you know, with him, you know, he's handling the ball more, you know, maybe, you know, if he needs me to spot up more, I can spot up, like, whatever. And that's probably going to happen, I think, just in the grand scheme of things, when we're looking at the Celtics, fully healthy, Kemba, Tatum, Jaylen, that trio, it's not just always going to be Kemba bringing the ball up, initiating the offense, getting a screen from Tristan Thompson, and everyone just kind of playing off of that. That doesn't have to be the offense. Sometimes they can come down and he can give it up and go spot up in the corner. And Tatum takes a turn running the offense at the top of the key, initiating the offense. Jaylen starts doing some of the things that they've been doing, getting picks and playing off of that and getting some of those mid-range jumpers or attacking off of those pick and rolls. There is going to have to be some level of adjustment, but what Kemba really meant was, you know, I'm going to go play my game and I'm going to whatever, like I'm still going to support this guy. And that's, you know, he's not going to sit here and give away, I guess, everything like, oh yeah, I got to completely change my game. But there is something. There is something that Kemba and Jaylen, I think Jaylen especially, they're going to have to work on. And it's very simple. You're just going to have to work on it. Not a big deal. No problem. They just work on it. And at some point, we'll see. We'll revisit this in a month or at the break. And we'll see if things have been adjusted, if games have been adjusted. Up next, a little bit of a palate cleanser, the Friday win over Orlando. This game was so bad, I got to make sure that we end on a good note. So that Friday win over Orlando was as good a note to end on as I can give you. If you are betting on the NBA, it doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore. Make sure you're checking out the new Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Daily picks, quick hitting advice, smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast. It's brought to you by betonline.ag. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And then use that betonline.ag account that you can sign up for free and get a 50% bonus with the promo code Locked On. And you can use that advice from the Locked On Bets podcast to maybe win a couple of bucks. Now, everybody watched the football playoffs. We know that Tom Brady is heading to Green Bay for the NFC Championship game. Weird to say that, but that's going to be an opportunity to bet on. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of prop bets there in Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be a fun game and a fun game to bet on. Obviously, if you want to bet on the NBA, this is an NBA podcast after all. You probably want to bet on some basketball if you're doing so. So there are plenty at betonline.ag. Plenty of options, lots of fun things. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action and use the promo code Locked On to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Please gamble responsibly. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Sunday night sucked, but Friday night was awesome. It's kind of how a weekend goes, right? Friday night's awesome, Sunday night sucks. But the Celtics on Friday put the hurt on the Orlando Magic, 124-97. It's basically the opposite of this game, right? The Friday night game was the opposite of the Knicks game. It was just a complete beginning to end, the most consistent win of the season. They came out, they took control. Orlando made its runs, you know, a couple of runs here and there, but the Celtics were locked in, fully engaged. They handled the run, they answered back, pushed the lead out. It was just a consistent effort. Seriously, the opposite of the Knicks game. Consistent effort, shots were falling, playing well on both ends. The three things that stood out here, Jaylen Brown's passing was on display. He tied a career high with 8 assists in that game. I did on RedsArmy.com a breakdown of Jaylen Brown's passing. It's on my YouTube page. you can see some of the ways that he's progressed as a passer. Some of the reads that he's making are very good. And the threat of his mid-range jumper is really causing defenses to react. And by hitting that at such a high rate, he is now able to start manipulating defenses a little bit and drawing people in, using the threat of that to set up his teammates. He set up Taco Fall with an alley-oop, and he set up Peyton Pritchard. The Peyton Pritchard one, I highlighted this specifically because it was a 3-on-2 or 2-on-2. Pritchard was going down the left side of the floor. Vucevic was kind of in the middle of the lane, and in a situation where a lot of players would just get it up to Pritchard kind of right away, Jalen took a crossover. Like he caught the ball at half court. He turned, he saw Peyton Pritchard, and then he kind of slowed down, took a crossover dribble to the middle of the floor, forced Vucevic to commit to him on the middle of the floor because he's a threat right around the free throw line. And then he whipped a perfect pass to Pritchard in the corner. Now, instead of getting the ball to Pritchard right at the break and forcing Pritchard to maybe take a dribble, set himself, Pritchard had already gotten deeper into the corner, set himself, and was waiting for the pass for the catch and shoot. It's just a little recognition like that really makes a difference. Jaylen Brown, those plays are becoming more frequent, and it's a small thing. And that's what it is in the NBA. It's these small things that you look at and say, oh, this is the improvement right here. The recognition, the ability to understand, like, I got this. In real time, in a matter of 2 seconds, to say, I've got Vooch, I'm going to cross over, I'm going to draw him a little closer my way, and then I'm going to make this pass. Because, sure, Pritchard was probably open, but you let him get more open. You give him a better chance to hit a corner three-pointer. And those little tiny things make such a big difference. And speaking of Pritchard and Ogilvy, again, opposite of the Knicks game, Pritchard and Ogilvy combined for 34 points and hit half of their threes. They were very good off of the bench, as opposed to the Knicks game where they were terrible off the bench. And you look at this really was, when you look at this Orlando game, it almost, and I should have seen this coming. Like, I'm kind of mad at myself for not seeing a stinker coming against the Knicks, because you go out there on Friday, you wax Orlando, and they took 42 three-pointers against Orlando. Again, they averaged 33, and they took 42 three-pointers against Orlando. They made 17, so they hit over 40% of their threes. Now, Sunday rolls along. It's an afternoon game. They've got two games, theoretically, against the Sixers. And they're coming off a game where everybody was hitting. They took a ton of threes, and it worked. And against a Knicks team that was big and physical and was not letting you get into the paint, they said, hey, we don't care about driving right now. That Sunday afternoon, this is a weird start time. They didn't, whatever was going on that made them seem lethargic, they said, we just hit a bunch of threes against Orlando. We're worried about the Philly game coming up. The Knicks, we can handle the Knicks. So it really felt like a trap game. So I kind of feel like I should have seen it coming. The last thing from that Magic game, which was awesome, was the Taco Fall ending, which just beautiful. Taco lining up a three-pointer. Missing so horribly, but banking it in is perfect. And it sucks that he was his shoe size is too big, and he ended up stepping on the line. But that was an electric moment in the Garden. I never really paid attention to the whole fan thing. Like, it's weird, but like, whatever. That was the one moment where I was like, shh, I wish there were fans here for this. And he comes down, was it the next play? Gets the ball at the top of the key. And instead of taking a three-pointer, he up fakes, gets down low, rips through, takes a dribble, and then finishes the drive with a dunk. Now, he did land awkwardly on that landing after the dunk. And that sprained ankle, he actually sprained his ankle, which kind of kept him out of the game against the Knicks. Not that it would have mattered much, but that was such a fun moment. The bench was just insane. Insane, falling all over one another, just running onto the court, like to the point where if it wasn't 124-97, I wonder if the refs would have like called a tech or something, because the celebrations were ridiculous on the bench. But it was good. It was fun to see those guys celebrating and having fun. Nice moment for Taco. I want to see him in there to shoot more threes. Because he's not a coward. He's willing to shoot them. All right, that's the podcast. Hope that trip back to Friday helped ease the pain after the Knicks loss. Whatever, moving on. Hopefully on Wednesday the Celtics will play the Sixers, but don't know. We'll see. If you subscribe to this podcast, you'll find out. And if you follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John, you'll definitely find out. I will let you know. And then talk about it here the next time I record a podcast after that. So make sure you're subscribed so you can get it directly to your device. Whatever it is that you use to listen to podcasts, you can just search for Locked On Celtics. If this is your first time and you just kind of followed a tweet or something here, go ahead and subscribe. You can also tell your smart device to play the latest podcast from Locked On Celtics or whatever, however you want to get it. You regular listeners, a 5-star rating would be fantastic. I went through and I saw a bunch of those, and you guys are awesome. There's so many of them. I love you. You wash out. There are a few jerks who want to give it a 1-star rating because they don't like a couple of things that I said at the end of a podcast about people treating each other with respect and being nice to one another. So they give the show a 1-star rating. So the 5-star ratings help counteract that by a long shot. The good written reviews, it's all made this show the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, but it can still be better. We can still rise higher in the rankings. I still want to catch that Locked On Lakers podcast. So share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.